cozy.
Would you like us to dim the lights? Maybe.
It'd be hard for us to be seen, but I mean, we're doing our cover. Where's your cover?
I apparently was wrong on what we meant by the covers thing. I personally thought that we were talking about bands doing other bands' songs. What were you thinking?
I thought we were going to be covered.
You thought we were going to snuggle and cover up.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And just talk about covers.
Bamboo and cotton.
Crochet. Ooh, crochet.
Afghans.
Afghans, yeah.
Those are great.
Quilts.
Well, let's take a right turn and talk about cover songs.
Okay. Cover songs. Here we go. Vinyl peeps, we've got a great show for you. How'd you like it? You ready for covers?
I love the idea of doing this show. We've talked about it for a long time.
Yes, we have. Done
it. But when you think about it, rock and roll is built on cover songs.
Absolutely. I'm entrenched in covers. Yeah. I love covers. There's a podcast I've been listening to for probably over 20 years called Coverville.
Nice.
Which I'd love to have Brian Ibbett on the show sometime because his show is really, really good.
Yeah, you've mentioned that to me before. And before we start going, I want to mention how important it is for you guys to check us out on our YouTube page. Listen to the podcast anywhere you get it. But I've been listening to it on YouTube Music. So you can either choose to watch it there and listen or just listen. And we want to direct all of you to our YouTube channel because, gosh, I thumbed through there yesterday and we've got so much cool stuff on the YouTube channel.
Yeah.
You know, and it's important for you guys. If you do love the podcast, you want to support us, you got to go to that YouTube channel because we are a podcast, but we're kind of a YouTube channel that has a podcast.
Yeah.
That's kind of the way we've been thinking about it. Does he have a video podcast for that?
I think he's just audio because he does other audio podcasts. He's basically turned podcasting into a career because he was, you know, being around for over 20 years.
Yeah. He would have been one of the originators, one of the trailblazers.
And he pays an ASCAP BMI license, so he plays music.
Oh, wow. Well, you know, those are goals. That would be very cool to be able to do
that. It's pretty cool. Well, and because, you know, he does cover stories, so he'll do the death shows and he'll do birthday shows. Like if it's Keith Richards' birthday, he'll do
a whole show.
Yeah, a whole show of Stones covers. So it's kind of fun. And I mean, covers are not, they're everywhere, but they're not always easy to find.
Well, they're not always easy to find. And I think a lot of folks who may not have like the interest or the deep love for music that we do, I think a lot of folks might not know that certain songs that are huge hits are cover songs.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
They kind of live under the umbrella of who they know the person is that did it. But we wanted to do this show because we wanted to talk about some of our favorite cover songs and maybe have a little back and forth about which ones are our favorite.
Yeah, and if you're in the cult of the Beatles or the Stones, their early albums are just littered with covers.
Yeah.
I mean, heck, the Stones' first album, everything was a cover except for one instrumental.
Yeah, yeah. And by the way, thanks for tuning into that Rolling Stone show. Because
yeah, we appreciate it.
It's gotten a lot of views and a lot of comments.
Yeah.
And, you know, bands like that that are at the center of what rock and pop music is, they're obviously going to be popular shows. But those shows where we rank things really get a lot of people.
Yeah, I enjoy the ranking shows.
Yeah,
they're kind of fun. And they make you listen and think about the music in a different way.
Yes, yes. It's not just like a background kind of thing.
Yeah.
Actually, doing these shows makes me do that, because for today, I mean, I've listened to a lot of cover versions of songs that I haven't listened to in a long time. And that's what we like doing here. We like talking about music, but the intent is to rediscover it. And
absolutely.
What is your first cover song that you'd like to discuss?
Well, before I get into the minutia of the cover songs, I'm so entrenched in cover albums that I have whole albums of nothing but covers.
I have a few of those too.
And there's some by just the single by one artist, yep. Like this Chris Cornell.
Oh, that's a great
This one. Was a posthumous release.
Mm-hmm. No One Sings Like You Anymore.
Yeah, No One Sings Like You Anymore. And he does a cover of Nothing Compares to You.
Yes.
That's really, really good.
Also Billie Jean's on here.
Yeah.
Right? All of the songs on
yeah,
this.
Yeah, every song is a cover.
Are fantastic.
And they're fantastic because Chris has such an amazing voice. I almost like Cornell's solo stuff better than Soundgarden.
Yeah. I think he came into himself as an artist.
Yeah.
As a solo guy. You know, when Soundgarden had that... the kind of a breakup, but it was more of a hiatus.
Yeah.
He went off and did Audio Slave, but then he started, you know, doing things on his own. And I don't think before he did that, you would have been like, oh, I'd love to hear this guy sing Billie Jean. But somehow, some people have that ability when they do a cover song to almost make you forget that it's not their song, and he's like that.
Yeah, and that's the great thing. I love it when covers are different than the original.
Yeah.
That's really, like, I mean, anybody can cover a band and sound kind of like the band.
Yeah.
But, I mean, when you make it your own, that's really what makes a cover a cover.
Yeah, and this is out there, but this has been one of those that has way fluctuated in price.
Yeah. I think I got it when it first came out, so...
Which I think was...
I did a pre-order.
Well, I'm going to look at it. Sorry about that. Oh, God damn. That's way too small for me to read.
Yeah. It was around the time... It was during the COVID period.
Okay. Yeah. Well, he does Patience on this. Sad, Sad City. Jump Into the Fire. Get It While You Can. Watching the Wheels. Oh.
It's just a really, really good cover album.
That's yeah. When Soundgarden's first, well, not their first album, but when Bad Motorfinger came out, I had known Chris Cornell from Temple of the Dog.
Oh yeah,
which kind of predated Pearl Jam and Soundgarden's
yep.
like explosion, and I absolutely loved his voice from that moment. And he has that ability to sing those heavy, heavy songs and then do Nothing Compares to You with just him and the guitar.
Yeah.
He's an amazing artist. Such a shame that he's gone. But yeah, that's a good one. I don't have that
yeah,
one.
That's a great one to pick up.
Okay.
Because it's a nice cover album of somebody who has a great voice.
Yeah. Yeah, that's
and
awesome.
It's funny. Saxon did a cover album.
Yeah.
And they didn't call it covers. They call it inspirations.
Yeah. And this is from 20.
Yeah. Paint It Black. And this was another one that I was not that familiar with Saxon, but I'm like, oh, I'm going to pick that up.
They are a great band.
Yeah.
They're one of the new wave of British heavy metal bands that came in. They aren't nearly as popular as a lot of the other ones like Judas Priest and Iron Maiden, but Saxon was a part of that movement. And these guys, I think these guys are still touring.
Yeah. So that was a fun one to pick up.
Yeah. Some of the songs on here are pretty interesting.
Yeah.
The Rocker, Speed King, Immigrant Song, Paperback Writer. I have not heard it, but I need to hear that.
Yeah, I need to
Stone,
hear that.
Evil Woman, Stone Free by Hendrix, Bomber. I mean, it's awesome when a band can do an entire album of songs that they're inspired by. And, you know, I don't know that we've ever talked about Saxon on the show. No. When you were going through your records earlier, out of the corner of my eye, I saw
a Saxon album.
I was like, what the hell is Wheels doing with a Saxon record?
Yeah, so that's a fun one. And then this is a good one. You know, Hendrix, you said Stone Free, so I'm like, I got to.
That's why I love that song, because when this came out, like in 1993, look at the people on here: The Cure, Eric Clapton, Spin Doctors, Buddy Guy, Body Count, Jeff Beck and Seal, Nigel Kennedy, Pretenders, PM Dawn, Slash and Paul Rogers with the Band of Gypsies.
It's a really good mix.
Belly.
Yeah.
Living Color, Pat Metheny, MACC. When this came out, I was working in the record store and we played it constantly.
Oh, yeah. It's such this and the didn't the Kiss cover album?
Yeah.
Kiss My Ass
came around the same time.
Yeah, yep. They came out at the same time, and I love those two CDs.
I do too, and I love that Kiss covers album because it's just as like all over the place as this one is. But Eric Clapton, someone who I very much respect, I'm not a huge fan of, but man, his version of Stone Free on this is so good. So that's I didn't know you had that. That's awesome.
It was $25. You see it right there.
RSD, what year?
2020.
Was it?
Is it 20?
Oh, man. I missed out on that one.
Yeah.
Damn it.
Well, and I picked it up after at a record show.
That's such a good record.
Yeah.
I love all of the stuff that the Hendrix family is doing with his catalog, because he really only had 3 albums.
Yeah, there's not a lot of material.
Yeah, but they've done a great job of unearthing live recordings and this when this happened, I think it took Jimi Hendrix's stuff to a new level and a new group of people. So that's awesome.
Yeah, the albums that are tributes are must haves.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, they're super fun, and it's if you like covers, it's a great way to experience a wide swath of people doing covers of your favorite artist.
That's what I was going to say, is it brings people together who normally might not ever cross paths musically, and that's cool.
And I have a bunch of these. I can just keep rolling them out. I've got a whole and I couldn't find one of my favorite albums of all time, Easy Beat All-Stars covering Dark Side of the Moon.
Oh yeah, yeah. Don't you have a dub Side of the Moon too?
Yeah, that's what it's the Easy Beat All Stars. It's a dub style.
Yeah, that's cool.
Kind of reggae.
Yeah,
dub style.
That's awesome. Well, I like we were talking about before, doing all these shows, bringing all these records in has sent my collection into a state of disorganization that
chaos
that keeps me up at night.
Yes. Yeah, well, but because we like to, you know, show what we have, and it gives us something to talk about. But, you know, when you're doing a show a week.
Yeah, yeah. Well, since we're talking about entire albums, first one I'll bring out. This is a great White album. I think I have mentioned it before. It's called Great Zeppelin, a tribute to Zeppelin. And this is an entire concert of Great White doing Zeppelin. And this is, I think it originally came out in the mid-90s, maybe. But I will tell you, this band is not, there are two versions of this band now. There's Jack White's version and then the other guys. And, you know, we all know about the tragedy that befell this band and the folks that were at that show. This is they are such a good band. And their versions of these Zeppelin songs are so good. And I love the pictures of them on the back here, but Living, Loving, Made, Ramble On, Since I've Been Loving You, Tangerine, Going to California, Jamaica, Immigrant Song, When the Levee Breaks, and Stairway to Heaven. It takes a lot of balls for a band to do a Zeppelin cover. I just one.
Yeah,
but just to play an entire set live of Led Zeppelin, that's another level of balls. But if you get a chance, I can't remember when I got this, maybe 3 or 4 years ago. But the first time I heard it, I think it was on one of the independent stations around here. I heard, I can't remember which song it was. It may have been Ramble On, which is one of my favorite Zeppelin songs anyway. And, I heard it and I absolutely loved it. And, if you get a chance, grab it, give it a listen. I'm sure it's on YouTube, but it really is really, really good. And while we're talking about Led Zeppelin, I kind of joked with Wheels that, you know, if we want to talk about covers, a whole lot of Led Zeppelin's songs.
Oh yeah,
were covers of a lot of blues greats' music, and you know, it's kind of what rock and roll was built on.
Yeah, I mean, really, even Elvis.
Yeah,
I mean, a lot of that early stuff, they were covers of great songs.
Yeah, and you know, there. I think things have been settled since then, but there was a time when there wasn't some attribution that was maybe supposed to be given to these blues guys. But again, we've talked about it a few times. If it weren't for these British bands bringing this music back to prominence and making it popular music, we probably wouldn't be talking about all of the blues, Willie Dixon's, Howlin' Wolf's, and all of those guys who didn't know they were doing it at the time, but they created rock and roll.
Yeah, they really did.
And Led Zeppelin did one hell of a job of playing that rock and roll, and so did the Stones. The Beatles did too. I feel like the Beatles didn't have that dirty, gritty side to them.
Right.
So it was almost maybe cleaned up a little bit, but I still love hearing the Beatles do the, like, Kansas City is one of my favorite covers that the Beatles do. So, you know, I just had to mention them because, you know, they were kind of the first ones to really dig into these songs after that first wave of the Stones and the Beatles. So, and, When I think of Led Zeppelin, those songs, like Since I've Been Loving You, those songs are the ones that really stick out.
Yeah, they're the ones that you kind of remember and you don't even think of them being covers.
Yep. All right, man. What else do you have over there in your stack of goodies?
I'm going to get controversial.
Uh-oh.
You like controversy?
I love controversy. So do people online.
And this is not a Nazi tribute album. It's The Residents.
Oh, gosh.
Third Reich of Rock and Roll. And this whole thing, this is their third album.
Third Reich Rock and Roll. Third Reich and Roll.
Yeah, Third Reich and Roll.
Okay.
And their first album had a lot of controversy because it was the cover. I brought the cover just because...
We talked about it before.
Yeah. It's the Beatles meet the Beatles. But the original cover, Capitol Records kind of got involved and said, hey, you can't do that. Because they had the one where they're all standing.
Oh, yeah.
And it was meet the Beatles. But they put lizard bodies in there or lizard heads. They're very bizarre. But they always do a cover. And this whole thing is covers of 60s, top 40 songs. So there's it came out in, when did it come out? It's hard to find their releases because they're all across the board. But it came out in 76. And actually, this was, I think it was actually their second album that followed up Meet the Beatles.
No kidding.
Or Meet the Residents of Meet the Beatles.
It's working.
They had another album that wasn't supposed to be released, their second album.
Oh, really? Huh.
But it ended up being released at some point.
It's so funny, since you mentioned Meet the Residents, I saw that album just this last weekend at a record store in Nashville, Tennessee. And
oh, really?
I hardly ever see that record.
It was reprinted, and there was a big push on, when it first came out, there was a push on all the socials about, hey, the Residents album is being reprinted.
Yeah, that's cool. I probably should have bought it.
Yeah, it's not everybody's taste.
Yeah.
And I mean, they do stuff like Satisfaction and Beyond the Valley, A Day in a Life. And the songs are not even called that. They're just a mashup of stuff.
No kidding.
It's just, it's very, 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 very
odd.
Different. Odd. Yeah. It's like, think of Captain Beefheart The Mothers of Invention. It's that kind of music where it's experimental.
Yeah, I don't have any. I do have one Captain Beefheart record, and he's another one, man. He took that blues music. I mean, that's what he's playing. He's playing blues music and turning it on its ears. It's obviously not everybody's cup of tea, but yeah, pretty original. I mean, when you consider he's taking a genre and like molding it and crafting it into what he does. And I guess that's what all rock bands really do.
Yeah.
You know, they kind of, if there are not a lot of bands that you hear or you see or that we talk about that are 100% original, that do something that you've never heard done before. There are some exceptions, but yeah, that's, I'm interested in hearing what this sounds like.
And they almost always do a cover. Like on the first album, they did a cover of Boots. These Boots Are Made for Walking. But they retitle the songs.
Okay.
And I think even Satisfaction's a mix-up of Satisfaction and a Beatles song. It's
interesting.
Yeah.
And you said A Day in the Life's on here. Right? Is that what you said?
Boy, I don't know. Well, if it is, it's part of Satisfaction.
Okay. For some reason, I thought you said A Day in the Life was on here. Interesting. I did turn this around and see.
You did mention.
Oh, okay. Thanks, Keith. Why do the residents hate the Beatles?
Yes. And there's a whole mantra about why they hate the Beatles.
Okay.
And it was not really they hated the Beatles. It's just like they, I mean, still in the 70s, the Beatles were still pretty big.
Oh, yeah.
And so they were mimicking and making fun of rock culture.
Yeah, and popular music. Interesting. I need to listen to some of them. Again, we talk all the time and you put stuff on this stand and I'm like, I should definitely listen to that. It's like there's not enough time in the day, right? Well, my next one, it's an interesting one because speaking of A Day in the Life, this is Wes Montgomery's album called A Day in the Life, where he does that song and a lot of others. It starts off with A Day in the Life, Watch What Happens, When a Man Loves a Woman, California Nights, Angel, Eleanor Rigby, the second Beatles song on this record, Willow Weep for Me, Wendy, Trust in Me, The Joker. And what's interesting is this came out in 1967, reached number one on the Billboard Jazz Album chart and number two on the R&B chart. It also reached number 13 on the Billboard 200. The single Wendy became his biggest Hot 100 hit, peaking at number 44. And the reason that I always talk about Wes is because he's from Indianapolis and he was a self-taught guitar player who basically took the jazz world by storm as a jazz guitarist. And I just love, there's a few of these albums from this era from him by A&M that kind of look similar to this. These jazz, I love this picture of him on the back. These jazz guys, you know, it doesn't happen so much anymore, but not just in jazz, but in pop music. You know, in the 60s, if a song came out and it was a hit, it would be re-recorded months after, sometimes less time than that. Somewhere along the way, it seems like people stopped being okay with that. Like if a song's a hit, like Satisfaction,
right?
When the Stones released Satisfaction, I don't have any examples, but I can guarantee you that there were people that did versions of that on the heels of it being released Because if it was a hit, it's going to be a hit with somebody else. It's not like that in pop music anymore.
No, and Motown did a bunch of that where they would release... The Supremes have whole cover albums.
Yeah, but I wanted to mention Wes because first off, I think his story is just interesting. Secondly, he's a hometown guy.
Yeah.
But I love these instrumental interpretations of pop songs.
Yeah.
Whether it's a guy playing guitar or it's, you know, band with horns or piano players, for me, it kind of opens up spots in my head that I may not have had there before. And, A Day in the Life. First off, it's one of the best Beatles songs ever.
Yeah.
and he does two Beatles songs on this.
And I have this one too.
Oh, do you really?
Yeah. Okay. Oh, it's a cover album.
Yeah.
I gotta have it.
It's absolutely fantastic. Any of the West stuff, if you see it, grab it. What's next?
Well, let's keep it in the Beatles.
Okay.
We'll keep it with the Beatles
covers. We could do a whole show on Beatles covers.
Yeah. So.
What was that? Am I hearing things?
Sushi and the Banshees.
Oh, that's backwards, right?
That's backwards, sorry. Yeah. Sparkle
and Fade. Oh, no, it was right.
It was right.
This, yeah.
Sparkle and Fade. And they do a cover of Dear Prudence.
Oh.
Which, her voice... I just love her voice. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's very ethereal.
That song's very ethereal.
Yeah, the song's ethereal, but it fits the Sushi sound so well.
Yeah.
And her cover of Dear Prudence, the song, the Beatles song came out in 68, but the cover, her cover, when did this come out? This came out in...
Good luck.
Yeah.
Well, you've got your readers on your knee.
Yeah. I've...
That, you know... Oh, wait a minute. It says right here...
I'm going to have to get this.
This is what people love, the uncomfortable silence when we're trying to read. This says 1983, and I think that's actually the way it goes.
Yeah, that is
you
the
can
way.
You can turn it any way you want.
Yeah, it's art.
It is. It can be interpreted upside down, right side up.
Or this is Hyena. It's not even Spark. I'm really screwing this up. It's Hyena, not Sparkle and Fade.
Oh, okay. I have never heard her version of that, but that's one of those Beatles songs that when you hear it and then you hear that somebody else is doing it, at least in my head, I'd be like, But there are great versions of that song, like the Across the Universe movie. The version of Dear Prudence in that is really, really great. You would just think that doing a song by such a legendary band would be quicksand. But the bands that do it and do it well, man, I love Beatles covers. I almost brought one. Motley Crue did Helter Skelter. And I always thought, even when I was a kid, I was like, man, that's a really good version of a Beatles song. And it's totally different than the Beatles song. But at the same time, it's kind of the same. I mean, you know, Helter Skelter, some people consider that like one of the first heavy metal songs. So.
And
sorry, I totally got off on
that. No, a little tease on this is when Robert Smith is with... Sushi.
Playing guitar for her.
Yeah, and I think he had a lot to do with doing this cover.
That's awesome. That doesn't surprise me.
Yeah.
He seems like he would be a Beatles guy.
Yeah.
I never dug into The Cure. I mean, it was just, even though I was definitely just up to my neck in music at the time, I didn't get The Cure at the time.
Yeah, and it's, I mean, that music is, you know... I don't know, you want to call it a dark wave or what genre it really fits in, but it's a little bit different than stuff you hear on the radio.
Oh, for sure. Which is kind of crazy to me how popular The Cure became. Even, I mean, because it's maybe their sound lightened a little bit, but they were always kind of a, you know, dark corner sort of band.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I need to listen to this too.
Yeah, this is good. It's, what else is on here? We Hunger, Take Me Back. I can barely read.
I know. We talked about that before.
Yes. Yeah.
Are these all covers?
No.
Okay.
There's just a couple of covers on there. But the song did pretty well on it. Hit number 3 on the UK charts.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Huh. Well, I mean, I guess that kind of makes sense being a British.
Yeah. And they're like, band. Oh, it's Dear Prudence.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, that's not one of those songs that like your run of the mill,
covers.
Just barely knowledgeable about the Beatles person would know.
Right.
Yeah. That's cool.
Yeah. So that's a fun one.
Yeah. Well, I'm just going to willy nilly grab. So this is Judas Priest Unleashed in the East. And you're probably going, why is he talking about this album for a cover? A lot of people do not know that the Green Manalishi, that is one of the songs that Judas Priest is known for, is actually a Peter Green era Fleetwood Mac song. And not only that, it's like one of the last songs that Peter Green recorded with Fleetwood Mac. And in doing a little research on it, let me pull it up here. Basically, Peter Green had a drug-induced fever dream about a dog, and both he and the dog were dead. And I hope I'm retelling this right. And so the next day, he got up and kind of wrote this. And originally, he kind of tied it in with Hellhound on My Trail by Robert Johnson. And that's kind of the...
Another cover.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, Robert wrote it.
Yeah.
But yeah, another one that a lot of people do cover. But I love this song. I love Judas Priest's version of it. And I really, really like Fleetwood Mac's version of it. The last album that Peter Green did with Fleetwood Mac is called Then Play On. And that song, the original version of this song, is on that record. That record is so good. If you haven't listened to it, give it a listen. I think most people, when they think of Fleetwood Mac, all they think of is Stevie Nicks and Lindsey Buckingham. And yes, that's the version of the band that sold a gazillion records, that became an adult contemporary pop band. But their roots, again, back to those British bands, that all they wanted to do was play blues.
Yeah.
And that original version of Fleetwood Mac is a blues band. Peter Green is a monster on the guitar, fantastic singer. And so for some reason, I hardly ever listen to Judas Priest. I mean, I do occasionally, but when we talked about doing this, that's the first song I thought of. Out of all of these that I brought, I thought of Green Manalishi.
And wow.
I think it's because most, again, like I said, most people don't realize who originally did that song. So I've listened to both of them in the last day, and they're both fantastic versions. This is the live version. I think, I can't remember what Judas Priest album the studio version's on. I kind of prefer the live version. That's a little more raw. But yeah, man, Priest is another one that we just never talk about. You know, they're such a huge band, really.
Yeah.
But they never come up. So I'm glad to have the opportunity to give them a little love on the cover show.
A little Judas love.
Yeah. And I love the pictures on here. But of course, there's Rob on the motorcycle toward the end of the show, dressed in his biker getup. This is a great album. If you haven't delved into Judas Priest, this is a really good live album. They have a few of them.
And live albums are always a great way to dive into a band that you may not listen to often.
Yeah, yeah. I think I like the Peter Green version of that song better, but it's close.
I like them both because we were listening to them, and they both have, you can tell it's the same song, but it's a very different groove.
Yeah, and it's kind of a foreboding kind of,
yeah,
you know, if it's an LSD induced fever dream, you would expect that
about a dog. Yeah.
Oh, and this is my We Are Vinyl version of it. I got
nice.
This. It's been a while. You know what pisses me off? Just a little aside. You see the top of the record there when records are shipped, a lot of times they get jostled around.
And they get
those little rips in the top of the jacket. Yeah. Ugh, that pisses me off. We should do a That Pisses Me Off show.
That Pisses Me Off.
Because
well, we know number one will be hype stickers for you. Maybe we can make this number two.
Yeah, I don't know. Hype stickers are at the top of the round. Hype stickers are round at the top hype. Of the list. What's on your next?
Well, I'm trying to create some sort of theme in the way I do these.
Yeah, I like it.
I don't know. We'll see. Small delay while John grabbed two albums.
Nice.
This is a bootleg. I think it was a bootleg. I think this was a bootleg of Echo and the Bunnymen.
Oh, okay.
And they did All You Need Is Love. And one of the things I loved about seeing bands in concert were the encores. Mm. Because encores almost always have one cover.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
So I would stick around to the chagrin of people. I'd go to shows, but come on, we've seen everything.
We got to get ahead of the traffic.
Like, no, I want to see the encore because I want to hear a cover. And hearing these covers live was always a big treat for me at shows.
Yeah. Well, All You Need Is Love is the one you're talking about. Yeah. You're right. Keith and I were just talking. Neither of us used to like that song when we were younger, and it's one that I absolutely love by the Beatles now. I don't know why that is. I mean, most of the Beatles stuff that I absolutely adore, I immediately adored it. When I was scratching the hell out of my mom's Beatles records, boom.
Mr. Russell.
It's been a couple episodes. Anyway, I think it's interesting when there's a song that really was a big song for them. There's really not a lot to the song, but it's great. How's this version of it?
It's pretty spectacular. And there's, of course, a weird penguin suit wearing person.
Interesting.
With the penguin background.
Yeah. That's very meta. I have never really listened to Echo and the Bunnymen.
Yeah, they're... And they would do... Along with covers, I love rip-off logos.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So this is kind of a rip-off logo of Joy Division from a bike race.
You had your jacket zipped up. Yeah. I didn't even notice that. But yeah, I see the bikes in there. That's hilarious.
So they would do, they had this, I would love to get this t-shirt. They had a t-shirt of James Dean, but he had bunny ears.
I think I've seen that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that goes along with the Echo and the Bunnymen thing. No, that's cool. And this is a boot? Let's take a look at it.
It may be a boot. It may not be.
And you paid $5.
At Second Time Around. Tony's store.
Thank you very much, Tony. That's awesome. Well, again, wait a minute. Oh, okay. I thought that guy was holding a chainsaw. It's just his guitar. Same
chainsaw,
thing.
Chainsaw, guitar.
The band Jackal, you could interchange those. No, that's cool. That's great. It's going on my list.
Yeah.
It's so easy to listen to music now that you've never
really
heard.
Is.
And
it's pretty easy to get it, too.
Yeah. And I hardly ever, I always talk about listening to stuff, but I never really sit down to. When I sit down to listen to a record or music, it's usually intentional. Like, I know what I'm going to play. Or I have sometimes walked up to my records blindly, grabbed a record, and pulled it out and put it on. And I guess my point is that when we were growing up, music you didn't know, you didn't have a way to listen to unless there was a turntable in a record store that you could play something on.
Most record stores in the 70s and 80s, would not let you play a full record, maybe a 45,
but
not a full record.
Yeah, this record store I was at in Nashville this weekend had a turntable. You could play anything you wanted.
Yeah, I think you can do that at Square Cat.
Oh, yeah. I think you can too. And that's great.
That's that's kind of cool.
Or you could just get on your phone, go to YouTube and listen to it there.
Yeah, I like this band. I'm going to get it.
Yeah. It's cool. It's a different thing, plunking down the money without hearing it and then plunking down the money after hearing it. But
yeah,
I do like the listening stations for sure. Very cool, man.
Yeah, and I had to have this one because I saw them live in Chicago and they did the song, so it's like, ooh, I gotta get that.
Awesome. My next one, this is not the Grace version of this. This was a record store day probably 2 years ago, I think. This is Jeff Buckley in Transition. This is from the Grace sessions. And these are just different. I don't know what that is.
Is that mine?
It could be. It's okay. Don't worry about it.
I'll turn it off.
Don't worry about it. We Are Vinyl pressing of this, first off. But that album, Grace by him, is otherworldly. The whole thing. It's just, you listen to it. He's an amazing musician, an amazing singer, guitarist, and then his version of Hallelujah on here, which is Leonard Cohen's song that he's known for, that they've written books about, they've done movies,
yes,
documentaries about, and there's a new one about that song that I think Alan Light might have put together. I know, actually, he may have written a book about Hallelujah and all the different versions of it. I prefer his. I love it. When he burst onto the scene, this album was like, where in the hell did this come from? And I felt the same way. We got a copy of it at the record store that I worked at and listened to it. And it wasn't one that you could just take the promo out and play in store all the time, because it was that like deep and kind of dark.
Yeah.
And ominous feeling.
Yeah.
But I just have always loved this record, but his version of Hallelujah is without a doubt my go-to version.
It's a really good cover.
Yeah.
I mean, I prefer Cohen's, but I love his cover also.
They're on different sides of the spectrum. I mean, yes, he's got this angelic, really high voice, and Leonard Cohen's is this really gravelly, low, frightening sounding.
Yeah.
And he's more talk singing.
Yeah, he's talk singing.
Yeah,
without a doubt.
Which is certainly part of the reason why you prefer it. But I just love Jeff Buckley's version of this. Everything he did, you know, everything his family has put out, he has an album called, is it Sketches for My Sweetheart the Drunk? Which, that was the album he was recording when he died. So he had recorded demos of these songs, but they weren't final recordings. And then, of course, he passed away and never got to finish them. But he has a live album from when he would play live shows in New York City, and it was just him and his guitar. I mean, it is a shame that he died when he did.
I mean,
he was on another plane, for sure. But this is like the second one I thought of.
We're in March, so, you know, we've got March Mania, basketball. His version of Hallelujah makes my Final Four.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's so good. And, you know, these RSD releases that they do, you know, you buy them at record stores when they come out on record store day. But most of the time, those special RSD releases are really, really good.
Yeah.
Releases. I mean, there's become so many of them that maybe there's some give or take stuff in there, but most of the time those are good ones to go.
Yeah. They're great kind of semi limited edition albums to pick up, mm-hmm, that are super fun.
I mean, they almost always come out independent of that RSD release, but usually there's like a color variant or something that makes those special.
Right.
Yeah. What's your next one?
Well, we're going to stay with the classic band with the covers.
I like it.
This was my first one I thought of.
Yep.
Jane's Addiction, their first album on XXX Records, and they do a version of Sympathy for the Devil.
Oh.
That they just call Sympathy.
Yeah.
But it's it really takes the song to a kind of a different, it's different than the original.
Yeah.
And like we talked in the beginning, that's really what makes a cover a cover.
Mm-hmm. Something that sets it aside from who did it originally. Yeah. Yeah. And this is a live album, right?
Yeah. The whole thing is live.
Yeah. I do like that version of that. I've never really been a Janes guy, but their version of that song is fantastic.
Oh, it is a really, really good cover. Yeah. That's one of my favorite songs of all time. I think I prefer their version better over the Stones.
Really? Yeah. That's controversial.
That is controversial. And the Stones cult people will not like hearing that.
It is maybe. It would be interesting to see. I would think of the Stones' big songs that Satisfaction might be the most often covered one. But Sympathy's got to be way up there.
Yeah, it's way up there.
What was it about these guys when you first heard them?
Well, when I first heard this, I was with a really good friend in Evansville, and we were at this Thunder on the Ohio, kind of a jet boat race on the river, and it's like an outdoor party. It's like going to the Indy 500, but yeah. It was on the riverbanks. And we were tooling around in his Suzuki Samurai, and he played this album over and over.
Yeah.
And I fell in love with it.
Yeah. It's moments like that. Everybody's kind of got those moments. Like,
yeah. The music time machine.
Yeah. Well, and just somebody that likes something
yeah.
that you'd never heard. And then all of a sudden it's.
And I was all in.
Yeah. Yeah. It's too bad that. I mean, maybe not too bad, but these guys really haven't done a lot of music, you know? They've only got, what, like 6 or 7 records?
There are not a lot of Janes records.
Yeah.
But then, you know, they kind of morphed into Porno for Pirates, mm-hmm. and Porno for Pirates kind of...
Porno for Pyros.
Pyros.
Yeah.
I don't know why I was going to say Pornos for Pirates, but...
I'd like to see Porno for Pirates.
Yeah.
Could be dangerous with that hook.
And peg leg.
Is that a second peg leg, or are you just happy to see? Sorry, I just want to, I'm not trying to correct you, but I know that if we leave that in the show, somebody's going to say, Porno for Pirates? What the fuck is that?
And the comments will roll in. But yeah, I've seen Jane several times, mm-hmm. and I just really like everything about him.
Now, we've talked about Dave Navarro hasn't been in the band for like the last couple of years because he had long COVID. He was one of the folks that has suffered from COVID for a long time. I just read that he's back in the band.
Good.
And he's back with them. And I think the Porno for Pyros, I almost said the wrong word again.
Pirates.
I think that when that was happening with Dave, Perry kind of pivoted back to Porno for Pyros.
Yeah.
To fulfill live shows and stuff like that. But they're back together now. The band is
whole again.
Yep,
yeah.
Yep. Well, that's cool, man.
And there's another cover on here that I almost forgot about. Rock and Roll by the Velvet Underground.
Nice. Nice. Of course they're going to do a Velvet Underground song.
Yeah. Why wouldn't they?
You know, the Velvet Underground, for not selling like gazillions of records, man, they were sure an instrumental band for a lot of people. And you're probably getting ready to grab.
Yeah, I'm going to grab something. This is a whole cover of the Velvet Underground's first album.
By Velvet. Whom?
Various
artists.
Yeah. It's just a mishmash of a bunch of different people. I doubt if it's anybody would ever know. Mm-hmm. Castle Face Records and Friends.
Hmm. Interesting. You got Heroin by the Burnt Ones.
Yeah, it's the whole album pretty much in order covered by these different bands.
That's cool. I like that. You know, I forgot to bring it, but there's an Ace Frehley covers album called Spacewalk, and it's different people doing Aces stuff, and there is a version of New York Groove on there that is so good, and I just got it on, I think it's on purple vinyl, like a year ago. I love that when these cover, like we talked about Stone Free and the VR one there. I mean, I love that when there's this conglomeration of people doing these songs. I mean, it just, it's so cool to listen to that. It especially like the first few times you do, you're familiar with the song, but maybe not the band that's doing that version of it. And then it's somebody different each time. That's a cool experience for sure.
So you're next up. We've got an empty slot waiting for you.
Well, I'm going to talk about Willie Nelson's Stardust. And that may be, it may be one that a lot of people don't know about, but this came out in 1978. And it's Willie, in 1978, this was Willie's 22nd studio album.
22nd studio.
Yeah. Released in April of 78. It's 10 songs entirely of pop standards that Nelson picked from among his favorites. And I just learned this today. Keith and I were talking. We listened to both of us listened to this album a lot when we were younger. And my uncle had an 8-track of this, so he watched me a lot, and I listened to it a bunch. I didn't know when I was 5 years old who the original artists were, but I really came to love Willie Nelson through this album. I mean, I was 4 and 5 years old at the time. So anyway, this is Willie's 22nd record, and it was kind of controversial at that point for him, being known as an outlaw country guy, to do a full album of pop standards. And until today, I didn't realize that Booker T is the guy that produced this.
Really?
Because apparently, according to the interwebs, Willie and Booker T both had a place in Malibu. And Willie asked Booker T to arrange a version of Moonlight in Vermont. And the way that he did it, Willie was impressed with. So he asked him to produce this whole record. And it's just so great. You've got... I love that picture of him, by the way.
That is a great picture of Willie.
This was a critical smash.
I had a copy of this, but it was pretty beat up and worn.
Yeah, I mean, you can tell this one's beat up. Yeah. I bought this one beat up, and it's only become more so. So this album was met with huge sales and near universal positive reviews. It peaked at number one on Billboard's country album chart and number 30 in the Billboard 200. It also charted at number one in Canadian RPM's country albums and number 28 in RPM's top albums. The singles Blue Skies, All of Me peaked respectively at numbers 1 and 3 on Billboard's Hot Country Singles. But listen to this. This thing was on the... Where did I see that? I think this was on the Billboard Top 200 for 10 years.
10 years. Yeah. That's a long time.
Yeah. And yeah, Stardust was on... Oh, I'm sorry. Stardust was on Billboard's country album charts for 10 years from its release until 1988.
That's still pretty spectacular.
Yeah, for a country guy doing, you know, Gershwin and songs that a lot of people probably never would have known. I mean, Stardust is Hoagy Carmichael, Georgia On My Mind, Hoagy, Blue Skies by Irving Berlin, Unchained Melody, September Song by Kurt Weill, On the Sunny Side of the Street by Jimmy McHugh, Someone to Watch Over Me by George Gershwin. I mean, it's just an unlikely...
Yeah, it really is.
It's an unlikely album, and it was kind of career defining for him.
It's an unlikely album by somebody who's not... I wouldn't say Willie has the best voice in the world.
Right.
So it's doing you know, standards is not something you usually hear somebody who.
Right. I think that that, I think that speaks to just the quality of the songs.
Yeah, it really does.
And I love Willie. He's still going. And, you know, this was definitely a career defining record for him. And it always brings back great memories for me when I can give it a listen. What's next on the cover parade?
The cover parade. Well,
how about that?
We're going to move out of the Beatles and move in. Well, we already moved out of the Beatles and we were with the Stones.
Mm-hmm.
So I've got another Stones cover.
Cool.
Devo, Are We Not Men? And they did a version of Satisfaction that I remember watching it on Saturday Night Live. And I was just blown away because that was, for whatever reason, I'm like, this is what music should be.
And guest appearance by Tom Brady.
By Tom Brady. Yeah. That does look like Tom Brady.
I know. It's so creepy how much it looks like him.
And there he is on the back.
Yeah. It is. It's interesting, you know. Devo. Is that your computer? Huh. Or your watch?
Oh, crap.
Or is it your detachable penis?
Why does it say actual size?
On the hat? I don't know. Say actual size.
That's a great question, Keith. Right here it says actual size. Huh.
And you know who produced this? Brian Eno.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Eno and Devo.
Yeah.
78. And it's so funny that a band that is so far out of left field like Devo is had so much success with a song like this. Because did this chart?
Let's see.
I thought it did.
In the UK, it peaked at number 12, and in America, number 78 on the Billboard charts.
Okay.
So not a big charting song, but...
For as weird as it is.
I mean, I'm sure the SNL performance helped a bunch because they're wearing these yellow suits, like hazmat suits.
Yeah.
And they're performing. It was like something nobody had ever seen.
Did they have the planter?
No, that was the later incarnation.
That was the later incarnation. Okay, yeah, can't remember.
This was the hazmat suit.
Yeah, it's such a good cover, and it's short too, right?
Yeah,
I mean the original song isn't very long anyway.
No,
but
they speed it up a little bit.
Yeah, oh, a little bit. Yeah, yeah. I think it's the mark of a good song when it can be done by somebody who's basically turning it on its ear and still be a good song.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. There were, let's see if there were more. Well, there were three singles from this.
Really?
Yeah.
What else?
And this actually came out. The Satisfaction version came out in 77. Okay. And then even though the album came out in 78, and then Jocko Homo, and then Comeback Joni.
Okay. Yeah. Devo. I have no Devo, and I need to get some Devo.
Oh, you got to get some Devo.
They are something else. Mark Mothersbaugh, he is a composer, and he does movies and TV shows and stuff. He is really a talented dude.
Yeah, he's turned into a he's kind of taken the route. He does a bunch of soundtracks.
Danny Elfman type.
Yeah, Danny Elfman, that's what I was trying to think of.
Type thing. I see, we got that.
Yeah.
We've got that. We're on the same page most of the time. That's cool, man. It looks like you've listened to this a few times too.
I bought like 4 used Devo albums off eBay.
Mm-hmm.
Because they were like $10 a piece, and I'm like, I'll give it a shot.
Cool.
It's not like I'm dumping a bunch of money, and the vinyl is in spectacular shape.
That's awesome. Cool, man. I knew you'd bring that.
Yeah.
I mean, when you look up, if you look up like greatest cover songs, this is always on someone's list.
Well, and it was a life-changing moment for me because I remember watching that. And it was just like, I was glued.
Yeah. Yeah. I was the same way with another Saturday Night Live performance, Gary Numan's Cars. I remember when I saw that, it just blew my mind up. But these guys much the same way. I mean, just doing something with a beloved pop hit and just doing it like that. That's very cool.
Yeah, and being dressed in hazmat suits while you're doing it.
Well, I mean, they're performance artists too.
They are performance artists. Yeah,
for sure. That's very cool, man.
Yeah.
I like it.
We are men. I'll answer it. What do you got?
Well, talking of albums full of cover songs, it's the 598 EP by Metallica. They did this after their original bassist, Cliff Burton, passed away, and they brought Jason Newsted into the band to play bass. And I guess they were just rehearsing, and I think Kirk Hammett started... I read the story earlier. Kirk Hammett started playing The Weight by Killing Joke, and then the band subsequently tried recording it, and then that led them to doing a bunch of other new wave of British heavy metal covers. Gaskin's I'm No Fool, and though Last Caress and Green Hell are combined into a single track by Metallica, the original Misfits versions were featured on different albums and were recorded 5 years apart. But this has five tunes on it. Helpless, originally by Diamond Head. The Small Hours by Holocaust, The Weight by Killing Joke, Crash Course in Brain Surgery by Budgie, and Last Caress, Green Hell by The Misfits. And I love this because this, they called it the 598 EP because they didn't want retailers to charge more for it. But then I think the price on the CD was $9.98. And I can't remember if it was $7.98 for the cassette, but they went so far as to say, if you're paying more than this for this, steal it. But they, what a cool way to introduce a new band member to your following, but to do these songs that all of these new wave of British heavy metal bands had such a huge effect on Metallica. And this is such a great album. It's so raw feeling, and I just love it. I always have. Of all the Metallica stuff at that time, this came out before Justice, I think. This was released in, this is released August 1987. And it was a great like way into the band that they hadn't, even though you can hear it, they hadn't really shown that inspiration from all these other bands, and I just love it. And the one thing that you hear from these dudes that wrote these songs and did the original versions is Metallica covering them has paid for their houses, has paid for their kids to go to college. You know what I mean? So not only are they kind of giving tribute to these bands, they're also making them a lot of money that otherwise they wouldn't have made. So I love it. I love the artwork on it. They got some like behind the scenes photos on the back here. And it's just a great listen. When this came out, it was originally released by Metallica's Blackened Records, and I got it from their website. So I have this black 180 gram version, but I also have an orange version that that I did not bring. But This is one of my favorite Metallica records just because it's so raw and so not produced. And then the album that they ended up doing after this, and Justice for All, is very produced, although it's, controversial because you can't hear the new bassist's bass lines. it's Justice is kind of considered their foray into progressive rock. So, yeah, Metallica, if nobody in 1987 would have been able to foresee them becoming the biggest band in the world, which they basically are.
Yeah, they really are.
And, you know, if you haven't heard it, you haven't listened to it, give it a spin.
That's one I haven't been able to find at a reasonable price.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's one I want, but I mean, it can be pretty spendy.
Okay, yeah. Well, I'll keep an eye out. Yeah. I love looking for it's funny, man. I'll go to record stores and I'll know what other friends are looking for, so I'll almost look for those more than me. Because in that case, if I bring it home and my wife sees me with a bag full of records, I can go, this is for wheels.
This is for wheels.
It's not me.
Yeah.
What's your next one?
Well, let's keep it in the classic rock vein. And I've talked about the Raincoats before, mm-hmm. but they do a song. They do a version of Lola that I may like better than the Kinks.
Oh, man.
And this came out in 79, and it was their debut studio album. And it really, it's kind of an androgyny song anyhow, mm-hmm. but to hear a female rock band do it, it gives it a little more gravitas.
Yeah, that's cool. You have talked about this before. I love the art on this.
Yeah, I love the art.
What's the back half? Oh, it's got the ladies at the bottom there.
Yeah, they're the ladies at the bottom.
So is this all originals except for Lola on this
record? I believe so. That's the only cover I know of.
This needs to go on my list of things to listen to again.
Yeah, and when it was re-released by Rough Trade in 93 on CD, the liner notes were by Kurt Cobain.
Oh, cool.
So they're an influential band that just never really got their due.
Hmm. Yeah, I hear of them. I mean, since you've mentioned them, I've heard their name pop up a few times, which is cool.
Yeah, and it's they kind of call them homespun folk punk.
All right, then. I like that. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I like these different little genres that writers come up with to describe bands.
Right. Subgenres and sub-subgenres. You know what I love? And this just popped into my head. When you have an all-female band, there is an energy that isn't there with an all-male band. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, the first one that really pops to my mind is the Runaways. I mean, there is a reckless energy there where they feel like they're just an inch away from completely falling apart. And when you can not just get that recorded, but when it comes through, when someone listens to it, it's friggin' amazing. I just love it. It's an energy that nobody else has. And even though Hole wasn't all female, again, there's a reckless attitude built into it. And I don't know if it's because they feel like they have something to prove or what it is, but it's something that I really, really dig.
Yeah, I do too. And this band, I mean, they were encouraged to approach the violin in the style of the Velvet Underground like John Cale did.
Oh, cool. That's
so
awesome.
It's one of those things that it's a hard album to find. I've only seen maybe two or three other versions of this.
No kidding. Yeah. I've never seen it.
And when I heard the song, I'm like, oh, I don't know where I heard the song, but I heard it and I'm like, I got to get that album. I got to have it.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you did.
Yeah. And they just weren't a band that. There's so many bands out there, and to have a band that's not on your radar and then they pop on.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, ooh,
it's cool.
Yeah.
That's a good one, man. I dig it. Well, I know we're getting down close to the end. I don't know how many we've done. This is one of my favorite. It's an EP, which we've talked about before. EP means extended play. I don't know why the hell. I mean, when I hear extended play, I would think of it being longer.
Yeah.
But long play is the longer.
Yeah.
Anyway, this is an EP by Skid Row called Beside Ourselves. And it came out September 1992. And basically, this is, again, it's just cover versions of bands that they love and songs that they love.
And it's funny, EPs wind up having a lot of covers for whatever reason.
They do. They do. They're kind of released in the shadow of other albums. Or this one, I believe that this is Beside Ourselves, B-side. And all of these were B-sides to singles that they had released.
Sense. Yeah.
So the songs on here, Psychotherapy by the Ramones, which is fantastic. Come On and Love Me by Kiss. Delivering the Goods by Judas Priest. And the version of that on here is a live version on which Rob Halford sings with them.
Really?
What You're Doing by Rush and Little Wing by the Jimi Hendrix Experience. And if you haven't heard this, if you don't like Skid Row or you think they're just a 80s hair metal band, give it a listen, because this is, it's just five tunes, but the amount of ground they cover on this is really great. Raw energy. And like I said, the version of Delivering the Goods is just great because Rob Halford joins them.
Yeah. That really is the icing on the cake.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very cool. I remember when it came out, I was like, EP, you know, for my generation, EPs weren't really that big of a thing. But they kind of came to be in the early to mid 90s. And the cool thing about it, it's like the 598 EP by Metallica. The cool thing is it's a little cheaper.
Yeah.
And it's just a little taste of a band in between albums or special versions of songs that they did that go on the B-side of some of the singles from those albums. So, yeah, I really, really dig this. I love the artwork on it.
I wasn't even aware of that one.
Yeah.
I didn't even know about it.
Yeah, you got to give it a listen. It's very good. And I originally got it on CD, but this is one that maybe 6 or 7 years ago I got on vinyl.
That's nice.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Thanks, man.
All right. So one of the ways that covers end up being released is on soundtracks a lot. For whatever reason, soundtracks are full of covers.
Mm-hmm.
And one of my favorites is The Life Aquatic with Steve Zissou. And there's some great covers on this. The cover of which one? Sue Jorge does a couple of Bowie covers.
Mm-hmm.
He does Rebel Rebel and what was the one I was thinking of? Oh,
Life on Mars.
His version of Life on Mars is really, really good.
Wes Anderson's films always have interesting music.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah. And you're right. I hadn't really thought of that, but there are a few like movie soundtracks that are nothing but covers. One that comes to mind for not really a great movie is The Last Action Hero from, like, I think that was early 90s, 93 or so.
Yeah.
And that's just filled with a bunch of bands of the time. A lot of Seattle era bands, but another one that comes up is singles a lot. That's another great one. I was going to ask you something about this record and I can't remember what it was. Oh, you got an Iggy and the Stooges cover?
No, that's...
Oh, that's actually is Iggy and the Stooges.
Yeah, I think Jorge is the only one who really does covers on this.
Oh, okay, cool.
But he does a bunch. He's even an actor in the the film.
Is he? Okay, because you do have Bowie.
Yeah.
And you've got Devo, Joan Baez, Iggy. Man, this is just packed.
Yeah, it's packed. It's
Zombies.
And it's a groove. It's a different... I mean, we've talked about how music is really the emotion, and it really, for film,
yeah,
music has become such a big part.
Oh, yeah. I think, I can't remember which show it was, but we were talking about the narrative of the film kind of being delivered through the music a lot of the time. Wes Anderson's the guy that does that, but Tarantino does it. A lot of really great directors have gotten that right in their films. And I feel like in the last 20 years, music has just become so much popular music, not necessarily scores and stuff, which that's important too, but popular music has become so important to movies. And like Guardians of the Galaxy is one of the examples I always go to. That soundtrack made that movie.
Oh yeah. But the other thing with Wes Anderson, he doesn't use, like, these songs are not, this came out in 2004, and these are not songs that are in the mainstream at all.
Right.
They're just songs from a different time that kind of drive the theme.
Yeah. That's great. Very cool. I still haven't even seen the movie.
Wow. We gotta have a movie night.
Yeah, we'll do a Vinyl Ventures movie night.
You're next.
One of my favorites is Elvis Costello's Kojak Variety, and this is just packed with some of his favorite music. He says in the liner notes that this is a record of his favorite songs performed with some of his favorite musicians. But he didn't want to record songs that were too familiar. So these aren't like songs that everybody immediately knows. You've got Strange, originally by Screamin' Jay Hawkins, Hidden Charms by Willie Dixon, Remove This Doubt by The Supremes. The one on here that I really love is I Threw It All Away by Bob Dylan. And digging into it, it's such a great version of that song, but digging into it, it's funny. Dylan's version of I Threw It All Away is on his album Nashville Skyline. And I just, in reading about this, Charlie Daniels played bass on Dylan's Nashville Skyline album. Isn't that strange? The guy that did Devil Went Down to Georgia, he played bass on Dylan's Nashville Skyline album. And that's one that a lot of people go back to. But some of the other songs on here, I've Been Wrong Before by Randy Newman, Bama Lama Bama Lou by Little Richard, Must You Throw Dirt in My Face by the Louvin Brothers, Pouring Water on a Drowning Man by James Carr, The Very Thought of You by Nat King Cole, another fantastic version. Please Stay by The Drifters, Running Out of Fools by Aretha Franklin, and Days by The Kinks. So this came out, I think, in 1995. And I was, May of 1995. And I was just all in on Elvis Costello at that time. And I love the artwork on this, too.
I was going to say, I like the artwork quite a bit on this.
It almost looks like a detergent box or
something.
So, and this is an MOV press of it that I got last year. It's such a good album. And if you're not an Elvis Costello fan, give it a listen, because you know these songs. They just aren't like the songs, the number one hit songs. They're kind of a little more mysterious than that. But yeah, it's one of my favorites of his. And when I saw they were re-releasing it on vinyl, I was very happy. So
that's a good one to have, especially an MOV press.
Yeah. Yeah. You can't ever go wrong with those MOVs, man.
They always sound so spectacular.
Yep. What do you think? You got another one there?
I got another one. Wall of Voodoo. And you know what the song's going to be? Ring of Fire.
Yeah.
Johnny Cash's, I guess it was a hit for Cash also in 66. And then this came out in 1980. And again, it's on an EP.
Yeah.
Just six songs.
I love the dog in the door.
Yeah, there. It's...
It's interesting.
Yeah, and Wall of Voodoo, they're one of those bands that have a distinctive sound.
Mm-hmm.
Like when you hear their version of Ring of Fire, or even the song that kind of got them popular, Mexican Radio, mm-hmm. It sounds like nothing else.
Yeah. Yeah, they are very distinctive. Are they British?
They are not British. They are from L.A.
I did not know that.
I did not know that.
That's my Johnny Carson.
That was good.
In case you didn't recognize it. I love Ring of Fire. It's a great song. My favorite version of it is Social Distortion. And if I had that on vinyl, I would have brought it.
Yeah, that's another one of those songs that has a lot of different people covering it.
Yeah, yeah. And again, I think cover songs are done most of the time by bands because they were a success the first time. Why not do it again? But a lot of times, like in the Elvis Costello example, I mean, those weren't all huge hits. Some of them were hits, but not necessarily songs that people know.
Yeah,
they're just songs that people love.
Right.
And, you know, Ring of Fire is another one that, you know, so many people love Johnny Cash. And of his songs, that one is one you hear people do a lot.
Yeah. And in the post-punk, new wave genre, the country was creeping in. It wasn't popular, but it was creeping into a lot of, you know, there were bands, whole bands like Jason and the Scorchers, mm-hmm. who had whole albums that had this kind of country sound.
Yeah. They're a good band.
Yeah.
They're a really good band. I have heard this, but it's been a long time. I'll have to revisit too.
It's spooky.
Isn't
it? It'd be a good Halloween song.
That's very cool.
You would never, I mean, you would know that it's Johnny Cash, but you would never, if you didn't know it was Johnny Cash, someone said, that's Johnny Cash. Really?
Well, I think that's the mark of a good cover too, is like you said, not doing it the way that it originally was done. You know, why record something that sounds exactly the same as how it sounded originally?
Yeah. Good songs are good songs.
Yeah.
You got any more?
I've got one more. And I brought both versions of this. This is Van Halen's second record, aptly titled 2. And there's a song on here that was originally, I thought Linda Ronstadt did it originally, but I'm wrong. It was originally done before that. So this is my new version of this record, basically the same. I think it's interesting to see the differences in colors and different
it's
versions
weird.
Of records. This is an original press, and it still has some of the cellophane on it. And obviously there was a round hype sticker. But these are the new versions. These are the new versions that were done. And Van Halen didn't make a huge deal about these being they're remastered, they're not remixed. But this one sounds fantastic. But the song I'm talking about on here is You're No Good. And have you heard it?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it may be one of my favorite cover songs ever because, A, it's a song that you wouldn't expect Van Halen to be doing.
Right.
And it has no business being as good as it is, but it is really, really great. And I remember when I first heard this, I was like, isn't this a Linda Ronstadt song? Yeah, it was, but it's also a Van Halen song. And I thought that I had it pulled up here to be able to talk about it, but I guess, oh, wait a minute. No, I have it here. So this is Van Halen's second album, March 1979. And the singles from this record were Dance the Night Away, Beautiful Girls, and Somebody Get Me a Doctor. But the album starts out with You're No Good. And it's written by Clint Ballard Jr. and first performed by D.D. Warwick for Jubilee Records in 1963, with production by Lieber and Stoller. It's just a great song. You know, a lot of people have done it. I think the Swingin' Blue Jeans did a version of it in the early 60s. But again, that's like, you know, that the song came out in 63, but somebody's doing another cover version of it the next year. That's just not something that you see a lot nowadays. Like if Taylor Swift were to have a huge hit, you're not going to have someone recording a version of it on the heels of the original. So, but this is like the third song that I thought of when we were talking about covers. And I will say that I like Van Halen's version of this better than any of the other versions that I've heard. It's almost creepy and ominous sounding.
Do you think maybe that cover was an impetus for them to do Diver Down?
Van Halen always did a lot of covers. Let's see. On the first record, they did not. But yeah, Diver Down is almost completely covers. And that wasn't even supposed to be an album. The record company just said, okay, we're going to do an album of these songs. I almost brought Diver Down because of that. It's interesting you ask that. They were always a band that wore their the music that they loved on their sleeves.
That's good. Sure. I love it when bands do that.
Yeah, yeah. And it's Edward Van Halen. I mean, what else do you
need? How can you go wrong?
Yeah, how can you go wrong? I love these pictures of them on the back, too.
Oh, yeah.
Dave.
That's the classic Dave.
Apparently, Dave, you know, he was born in Bloomington, so apparently he kept his pants from the Hoosiers.
Way to go, Dave.
What's your next one?
Well, it's one that I've talked about before, mm-hmm. but...
Worth mentioning again.
It's worth mentioning.
Yes.
Because it's still one of my top, maybe not top 10, but it's way up there. It's one of my top 10 favorite covers.
Cool.
I Will Survive.
Oh, yes.
By Cake.
Fashion Nugget.
From Fashion Nugget. And Gloria Gaynor did not like their version of this.
That's what you said. That's funny.
It's funny how she suddenly, and it's because they make it sounds like a Cake song.
Yeah, yeah, it certainly does.
And Fashion Nugget came out in 96, the second album, and they're classified as alternative rock.
Of course they are.
Well, yeah, everybody who had anything different at the time mm-hmm. was alternative rock. And... there were a lot of singles off this. Mm-hmm. The Distance is the one that is probably, I'm going to say, the biggest hit Cake song, but it's...
I would say between that, Short Skirt and Long Jacket are probably the
And a lot of... There were, I mean, The Distance, I Will Survive, Frank Sinatra, Perhaps, Friend is a four-letter word. All five of those were singles from this.
That's cool. It's a great version. Again, you're not going to confuse their version of this song with the original.
No, absolutely not.
And he talk sings a lot, so obviously that's
oh yeah,
right in your wheelhouse.
Oh yeah, it's right there. And this album did on the Billboard 200. It hit number 36.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Huh. I mean, it was played a lot at the time, but I heard it more at bars and stuff than maybe on the radio. But yeah, I think it was a bigger hit than we knew at the time.
Yeah, and at the time, I mean, the 90s were when a lot of different music was beginning to be played, but they were so different that...
Yeah.
I don't even think radio stations were picking up on it yet.
Right.
Their next album, Prolong the Magic, was... really when they took off.
Yeah. That's a good one, man. I knew you were going to bring that.
Oh, yeah. You got to bring that.
Gloria Gaynor.
Gloria.
R.I.P. Yeah, no, they're a great band. I have never seen them live. You just did recently, right?
Yeah. And I was surprised because it was a really, really phenomenal live show.
Yeah. That's awesome.
And they release, when they have a new release, you can always get it on their website.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love...
They're more of an independent
They're band, very independent. For sure. I think they handle their own bookings.
Oh, do they?
Like somebody in their camp.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that's awesome, man. I had a couple more honorable mentions.
Oh, I definitely do, too.
I know you do.
One of my favorite cover versions is White Lion's version of Radar Love, the Golden Earring song. The original song is fantastic. Their version is fantastic. I mean, that's one of those songs, like, if you hear it in your car, you just turn it up.
Yeah. You want that thing to be loud.
You don't change the station. You turn it up, you hit the gas, and you hopefully avoid a speeding ticket. But that's one of my special mentions. And another, I haven't talked about the Jayhawks in a long time, have I? It has been a while.
Maybe, a couple shows.
Many shows, I think. Anyway, they do a version of Grand Funk's Bad Time on this record. This is Tomorrow the Green Grass. And man, I almost like this version better than the original. Sometimes artists will play a cover song, and even if you know it's not their song, you're like, this is their song. You know what
right.
I mean? And that's one of them. So those are the couple honorable mentions I wanted to throw up there. This is such a good record. If you don't have this, I think this is their second or third record. It is so great. They kind of repopped their entire catalog about 9 years ago, and guess who bought all of them? What are your special mentions?
Well, the big one is Sinead O'Connor.
Oh,
Nothing Compares to You.
Yeah, and we've already talked about this song once.
Yeah, we've talked about it once, and this really is the song that kind of took off for her.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It got a lot of radio play, and this was a song originally written by Prince for his band The Family, and it appeared on their only album because Prince and The Family, or The Family, only had mm-hmm. one album.
I think that's a song. When it came out, I don't think most people knew that Prince wrote it. Prince wrote a lot of music for a lot of different people.
Yeah.
And man, what a great version of that song. What I mean, there is so much sadness, and it is fraught with emotion.
Yes, it really is.
And everything, really everything she did was.
Yeah.
She was a pretty heavy performer, but for Prince to be able to write music like that, and for people to be able to interpret it as well as so many of those people did, it just shows you what an amazing musician and writer Prince was.
Yeah, and it gets to that business we're talking about a great song. It doesn't matter. A great song is a great song.
Yeah, and Chris, like we said, Chris Cornell's version is
oh yeah,
so good too. I would have loved to hear Chris Cornell and Sinead do a version.
Ooh, that would have been a phenomenal duet.
Yeah,
yeah. And this came out. Yeah,
not gonna happen. No. When did this her version?
1990.
Oh my gosh! So it's 34 years old. Gosh. Man, that's one thing that music does, is it just takes you through that you know, time traveling thing. I love that version. I'm not a huge fan of hers, but that's an undeniably amazing song. You have any other specials?
Oh, there's tons. There's tons of special mentions.
I'll take this.
So Lucinda Williams has been doing these cover albums.
Yep.
And this is her tribute to the Rolling Stones. And I love everything on it.
This is kind of a takeoff of Beggar's Banquet.
Beggar's Banquet.
Yeah.
And she packs these with, like, you know, four sides. Man, four sides of music.
I love the old jukebox
yeah.
labels for the songs. She is so great. And I know that she, I think she had a stroke a few years ago, and she's recovered from it
yeah.
really well. She's an American treasure that most people don't even know about. And she's written so many great songs.
Oh, yeah. And yeah. she's a great performer. But if you like the Stones, if you like Lucinda, this is a fun entry.
I think I saw that when I was in Nashville this past weekend. I saw this record.
Yeah. And I don't know that she really makes the songs completely hers, mm-hmm. but they definitely don't sound like the Stones.
Yeah. Yeah. She's a one of a kind performer. Man, that's awesome. It's interesting that we've done this show as long as we have, and we haven't done a cover show until now.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, we could have done 14 cover shows. Just goes on and on.
We will be doing more because I think it's a way to celebrate music in a different way. I mean, we're talking about bands that are interpreting these songs, that are taking songs from the 50s or, in Willie Nelson's case, you know, the 20s, 30s, and 40s, and bringing them back for people to appreciate. And, you know, in today's world, you can do that. Like we said, you can go to YouTube. You can listen to just about anything you want. But way back when we were growing up, you couldn't. And to have someone devote an entire album to cover songs is pretty cool.
Yeah, that is... It's just fun.
Yeah, yeah, and it gives respect and credence to the original people who did them, and it brings the songs back to people who might not have discovered them by the original artist, and that's the beauty of popular music, is that, you know, it's always there. It's always, you know, kind of a stamp in time for whoever does the song.
Right.
And when you can talk about cover songs and love those versions as much as the originals, that's something special. And man, it was fun just digging through my records, because like I said, my stuff's a mess right now, but I would be flipping through things and not be able to find what I'm looking for, but I'll find another album that's got a cover on it. That's pretty neat too.
Yeah. And you discover stuff like I'd totally forgotten that Jane's Addiction on that first live album did also rock and roll.
Yeah. Yeah. It's cool when you can experience your collection and the thing, you know, that you spend so much money on, that you put so much time into, and you can experience it in new ways. And that's kind of what the covers do.
Yeah.
I think we accomplished the goal.
We certainly did.
Yeah.
And it's a chance for bands to have fun.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because you forget that they're making music, but sometimes they just want to have fun.
Yeah.
And doing a cover album is a great way to have fun.
Yeah. Experiencing music in a different light.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, one thing I know for sure is there is no cover version of Vinyl Ventures out there. This is the original, folks, and we want you guys to go to our original home of our original stuff, and that's the YouTube channel. So check out Vinyl Ventures on the YouTube channel. You can listen to the podcast anywhere you get podcasts, but listen to it on YouTube Music because you can see the video and you can hear the audio. You can turn your phone off and the audio will keep playing. We want to thank everybody that's come along for the ride. We want to thank Keith Toombs and Jacob Hansen for everything they do for the show. And we want to tell you guys to keep those records spinning, and we'll catch you the next time around. It's a-